Blog Talk Radio.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
Yeah, we feel it. Can you feel it? I feel it. We feel it. It's Tuesday. Kale Corner. Miss T.
What's
up, family? As y'all can see, DMV Kale in a good mood today, boy. Hey, I got enough sleep, Miss T. Enjoyed the nice weather. The weather been nice, you know. A little bit of rain we had to deal with, a little bit of coolness, but other than that, it's been great. Miss T, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Just got back off my walk. Me and my little person that was with me, grandbaby, we took a long walk around the neighborhood. So we doing great. All the energy is here. We good.
That's what's up. That's what's up. How was the birthday celebration for the little one?
Oh, man. It was awesome. It was amazing. It was amazing. I'm going to have to send you some pictures.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I was looking at my phone. I said, he ain't send me damn picture of the baby celebrating, you know, enjoying their birthday, girl. You know that stuff give me life. You know I need to hear.
Oh, man. You got to see. Hey, Kale. She had so much fun. That thing ran herself to sleep.
Girl, well, you know what? I am so sorry. I forgot to announce my little nephew Josh. It was his birthday this weekend. Uh-huh. And I forgot how ignorant my family can get. Really, I'm serious, girl. Them Bammers decided they wanted to have a water balloon fight. Yeah, so no, because they brought, they brought all the evilness out of me with that water balloon. My aunt, she just, you know, my cousin was like, when we was getting ready to take a picture, I called my aunt Lionel Lipsy because of her lips, right? You know, Lionel Richie,
okay.
Lionel Lipsy.
Okay.
And so it was a countdown for the picture. They was like, everybody say cheese. And then my cousin said, no, Lionel Lipsy, right before they took the picture. So my aunt was already in get back mode. And I was like, aunt, I didn't say nothing. You know what I mean? She said that. That wasn't me. And she was like, yeah, okay. But you the one that put it out there. So, I'm standing at the grill. Get ready to get me a fresh cheeseburger, girl. I'm talking, Lord. Mm, make you want to smack your mama type of cheeseburger.
Okay.
And she hit me dead in the middle of the back with one of them daggone water balloons. Girl, I lost it for like 2 seconds that I remember. I remember where I was at. So, you know, I was able to reel it all in and calm it down. But I'm telling you, girl, you talk about somebody mad. You ever had something happen and you quick mad? You're mad for a quick second, and then you leaves your mind. Yeah, but well, that was that moment for me on Saturday. Enough of that. We're going to discuss the Masters. I was so disappointed, Tree, when my boy McIlroy just didn't even pull it out, didn't even put up a fight, you know what I mean? I'm like, goodness gracious, man. But congratulations to the winner. We're gonna go in depth with that. Let me stop hating. Congratulations to the winner. We're gonna go in depth with that. We're gonna talk some NBA. It is so much going on with the NBA. Stories on top of stories on top of stories. So we got to get that out. We're going to talk the NFL draft. It's creeping up on us, y'all. It'll be here the 29th. That's a Thursday night. The draft will be starting on the 29th. Have you changed your mind about what your team needs? Have you thought more from last week on what your team needs? Are you going to believe the rumors and the scuttlebutt that's going around on every team? I mean, every day it's a different story about a different team. Then we're going to talk a little MLB. Hey, it's back everywhere. My Nationals. They looking good, y'all. They looking real good. I'm psyched about it. I told you I love me some baseball, you know. NHL, my Caps, first place in the NL East, holding it down. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. Them Caps on a run, huh? You hear me? And we look good. And we look good, good, good. Taylor Hunsons, I tell you, he does the best job with the Caps. I just wish he could translate a little of that over to the Wizards and the Mystics, you know? Because the Wizards, speaking of, pulled off a serious victory last night, boy. You know, hey, DMV Kill had to go to work yawning this morning, man, because I was feeling that thing. But anyway, we're gonna get to all of that and some more and our comments from our callers. I got you guys right now. We're gonna take a quick break. 563-999-3782 is our number. 563-999-3782. Hey, Trees, they ain't hear me. What's that number, baby girl?
I keep telling everybody we right here on Kale's Corner with 563-999-3782 is our number right here. 563-999-3782.
Who we heal?
Like the Apollo when I'm the Sandman. Told 100 grand, got stayed in the waistband. Looking for a street lick, but this is the wrong place, man. Every time shower, I care about a case, man. I'm campaigning.
That's it. We got to jump directly in. We want to congratulate Hideki Matsui.
Mm-hmm.
Matsui on being the first Japanese-born player to win the Masters. So,
yeah.
Hey, that's a big thing. That's a big thing for the guys over in Japan. You know, they've loved golf just as long as we've loved golf in the States. So, after all these years, to finally have a winner, we gotta say congratulations. Matsui, the portions of his competition that I watched, he really played an amazing game. He made some great shots. And, hey, there's not more I can say about that. It was a great match. And, you know, I'll be the first to admit, normally I'm a Tiger geek. I'm waiting for Tiger Woods. I want to see what Tiger Woods is doing. And if Tiger's not having that good of a go at it, you know, I normally just, you know, I don't want to say fade off or turn away, but my attention is not there fully. I will say that. But this weekend, it was like you couldn't turn your head. You couldn't turn your head. You know, I thought Rose was going to take it because he started out so strong and dominant. And then it was just like he just one or two shots, and that is golf. That is golf. I'm going to say, you know, you can be on top and flop before you know it when it comes to golf, because it's not necessarily you against the next player. It's you against the course, you against the weather, and you against your own mind. So congratulations to Matt Stewie again. Kudos and congratulations, sir. Now,
yeah,
I want to talk basketball. I'm sorry. And I got to bring my brother in with me to wrap this basketball thing up, man, because I, you know, we were talking earlier, and I'm not going to spoil the conversation. Kyrie Irving and his situation. You know, I, for one, am really starting to get mentally worried when it comes to the Nets. It just seems as if basketball isn't these guys' top concern. This is what it seems like. I'm not saying that this is true, but it seems as if you got Kevin Durant arguing with Rappaport, and then Kevin Durant coming out with his statement about, you know, it's not about the rings and he want to be known as the greatest basketball player and it ain't about the championships and all this crazy mess. And then you got Kyrie Irving being tossed from the Nets-Lakers game the other night, and because Schroeder used the N-word in a derogatory manner toward him. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this, and just to get it off the record, I think that Kyrie was mad because they were losing. I think they were mad because they were losing, and he was having the hardest time figuring Schroeder out. Schroeder's defense, Schroeder's speed, it was just getting to Kyrie Irving. And go ahead.
Because I watched that game, okay? And,
right.
And good evening, everyone. Good evening, T, Lady T. I watched that game. Now, I beg to differ on that because I was watching Kyrie. I was watching his defense, man. He was playing defense, man. He was extending himself. He was picking up on the man. He was really playing into that game. Now, as far as him, you know, being objective about Dennis Schroeder calling him the N-word, you know, Kyrie is on like a mission where he's, you know, finding himself and stuff, finding his roots, you know, beyond just African-American. He's going back to the African roots, you know. So he's getting in tune with his where he's from and stuff like that. So he's trying to go to a higher level, okay? He's also an essential person anyway, okay? So I look at him getting at that, upset about that. I can dig that. Now, as far as the ref throwing him out, the ref should not have thrown him out because he didn't say anything to the ref. He was direct. He was saying something to the shooter, but also he was walking. He might have said something to the ref. He took his hand off the ref because the ref wanted to put his hand on his waist and push him off, whatever. He did that. But as far as when he walked away, when he got that check, got ejected, he was just walking away from Schroeder and saying it to Schroeder. And then the guy gave him a check and threw him out the game. That's when he came back to go say something to confront him about, man, you know, what's going on. Bottom line, the ref,
well,
man, you was talking about earlier, Kale.
Nah. I feel different.
Go ahead, Tree.
I saw it different. I saw Kyrie not really. I mean, he was giving up defense. He was, but Schroeder was giving a better defense, and Schroeder was not backing down from him, and he was a little intimidated by it, to me. Just me, top my eye, and it looked to me like Kyrie was intimidated by Schroeder. Now, when he got the text, Schroeder did say something to him. You know what I'm saying? He said something to him. And then Kyrie said something so negative to back to him that he got a text. Right? So when he got the text, the ref was like trying to move him back because he was walking him down. Like, you, anybody know you walk me down, I'm gonna punch you in the face. So the ref was like trying to get them, you know, hands on both of them, pushing them away from each other. Kyrie was so irate at the moment, like he just couldn't let it go. Like, okay, now I'm going at the ref. And he said, you see da 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 to the ref. Like he going on the ref now. So the ref's like, why are you talking about you saying this to me? I ain't doing nothing to you, Tat. Get out the game. Since you going like that, get out the game. That's how
well,
it went.
I think the Tech and throwing him out of the game was because he made contact with the referee.
Absolutely.
But the referee initiated that. Okay? So
nah.
Because you're a ref,
the ref
don't mean that you can just put your hands on the player.
Listen,
no, it does not.
When he was putting his hands on him, Kyrie was walking Schroeder down. If he hadn't done that, they would have been nose to nose, and God knows what would have happened. So he was like, he didn't do it like viciously. All he did was put his hand on him. Period.
Let me get my. Okay. Am I in? I'm on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. For one, I don't know what basketball. I'm unexpected, but I've been playing basketball for a long, lot of time. Schroeder, I like Schroeder. He's a tenacious. That's why they call him Dennis the Menace. Okay, it was
right.
Going tap for tap, but trust me, Kyrie is that dude.
They were.
Dennis ain't got nothing. Dennis don't have anything on Kyrie at all. Okay, no, he's not bagging down. He didn't bag down. Hold on, let me finish, please. You finish door. He's not gonna bag down. He didn't bag down. He's not supposed to bag down if you're a hooper, if you got any guts and what have you. So they got nose to nose. Then the ref came between and separated them. So but then Kyrie moved the ref hand off him because the ref would continue to put like as far as like his authoritative state. That's what we're dealing with now. White man has a problem with black man being in control or being an authoritative figure or rebelling against what they say. This is my opinion, okay? I'm just, and that's just a little bit of thing. I'm not even carrying it all the way as far as that, but that's just a little snippet of that, okay? But as far as that, like I say, they got nose to know the ref separate them. Kyrie was walking away, still talking, but yet still walking away, though, okay? That's my point on that. But then you saying, okay, like I say, Dennis didn't, fourth quarter, that's Kyrie. Dennis don't have anything. I just want to lead to that fact. Dennis cannot mess with Kyrie as far as overall game. He can't.
Kyrie was frustrated.
You said he was frustrated, You said he was frustrated because of Dennis getting
night.
The best of him. No.
But
was even if they hadn't even got to the second quarter
can we agree
yet.
To that?
You know what?
But can we agree to that? Can we agree to everybody have an off night? Can we agree to that?
They hadn't even got to the fourth. They hadn't even got to the second quarter. Let the night finish, okay? Do you know about that dude?
Business for whatever reason.
How many points did Kyrie have before he got ejected?
That man got some scales on. He needed to go take a bath.
I think he got upset because of the fact the ref is trying to. The ref is trying to
that's
be more important to the game instead of letting the stars play.
And no ref. No. The ref did the right thing. Because had he not, he'd be probably on the floor. Because Schroeder would have probably laid him out on the floor.
I'm going to say this.
You must don't like Kyrie. You must not like Kyrie.
But I don't like ignorance. Because somebody called you a name at your job. Listen. We at work. They both at work. Right? They both bring show out at work. Y'all showing off at work. Who show out at work? If somebody calls you a name, okay, deal with it. Yeah, you call me that. I'm going to call you one and keep it moving.
You didn't
I'm not
going to
play
so
much to the point where you
come
out of the game. Who does that?
Ted, think about it like this. Yes, Kyrie is on a whole nother wavelength. I get that.
Yes.
I get that. But because Kyrie is on a whole nother wavelength, It doesn't mean everybody else is on it as well, or has to be as well.
Thank
now, you can't. You do now. You do both ways. Need to respect each other as men,
yeah.
and as athletes.
So,
you do need to respect each other that way. And judging by the way Kyrie responded and was acting, it looked it gave off an appearance that it was more than just what Schroeder had said, and that Schroeder had antagonized him to a point that he was boiling over. That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
Antagonize him as far as what? Okay, who just got the steal? Who just got the steal and got the foul called on him? You know what I'm saying? So y'all got your opinion. That's fine. That's cool. But I definitely disagree with your opinion on your take on how do y'all perceive that. But that's how you guys perceive it. That's fine and dandy. But like I say, Kyrie was playing that D. Who just got the steal? Kyrie had got the steal, was finna go down the court on a ticky-tack foul that the ref called. It was a foul. I agree. That's cool. But that depends on who you are and how they call it. Sometimes it's a foul. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they let it go. It depends.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So to keep saying that the boy was aggravated, like I said, he might be aggravated about a whole bunch of other things, but Dennis Schroeder is not the one he was aggravated about. Trust that.
So have we ever seen Kyrie respond or react to anyone?
Right.
Anyone else in this manner?
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't watch
Kyrie
enough of that.
Kyrie got issues.
Whatever his personal thing going on in his life, he bring it with him every day. Anything he does, he carries on his shoulders.
Are you going to let someone at your job call you the B-I-T-C-H, though? You saying that because they playing ball, it's okay, cool for them to call them that name. So you saying, I'm not going to let nobody, if we not playing and Joseph, he not my dude, I'm not going to let him just call me nigga like that and just accept that like that. You know what I'm saying? So for you,
Well, and we can't remember, Schroeder is not your... Schroeder is not your average African American. Schroeder was raised in Germany. He wasn't raised stateside. Well, Nigeria. It's still not stateside. So.
No, he was raised in Germany, like you said, Kel. That's where he played.
Yeah.
He was raised overseas in Germany. He might have been born Nigerian, but all that still. He was born.
Raised in Germany. You're right.
So.
But listen, y'all.
I'm not trying to give Kyrie a pass. I see wrong on both shoulders here, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I see wrong with them doing that. But with Kyrie, it seemed like the norm became something else for him. And it did not seem like it had anything to do.
But if I'm not saying that.
I watched that play over and over. I swear I watched that play over and over. Schroeder, when Kyrie was going off, Schroeder was looking at him going, shrugging his shoulders like, what's wrong with him? What's going on with him?
No, at the beginning. Before all of that, Schroeder did call Kyrie the N-word.
I'm talking about like I'm expecting for him to be keep calling him that. That's why he's so angry, right? So the first time when he said that, and Kyrie went off, okay.
Well,
so
They
gave him a tap.
There's no
right?
limitation. There is no limitation on your anger when you feel like someone's done you wrong. There's no limit. I mean, no one can tell you, okay, you've been mad enough.
That's why it's called anger management. People need to go to anger management because it's no way that I am going to – look, I know I'm not no nigga. I know that. I know I'm not. See, that's when you got to be a real man and to say to yourself, okay, you got that.
Hold on, Tree. You can't question the dude, man.
Let me finish first, Kel.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say, okay.
Go
you
ahead.
Got that. You got that. Soon as the game over, I'm gonna, hey, let me holler at you for a minute. Hey, dog, look. It's a whole lot of stuff you can call me. But I don't even play that right there. You gotta pass the first time. That's because I knocked you on your butt. The next time you call me that, they gonna have to put me out of the game. Okay? So you gotta check. You gotta give a person you gotta let a person say do whatever they did to you so you can check them. So people don't know how to treat each other.
Well, Kyrie. In Kyrie's defense, he's like, I need to check this right now. The very first time that you now you want to hold on, Tree. You want to talk about manhood? You want to bring the manhood into this? The very first time that a man disrespects another man, it is that man's obligation to check him right then and there. I'm not waiting till after no game to have this conversation with you because you know what? You might decide, oh, it's okay. You ever heard you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. So later on in the game, this could have been something that Kyrie repeatedly heard from Schroeder. So he had to check him and let him know, hey, dog, I don't get down like that. Real talk. And that is
listen,
nothing.
Okay,
nothing is more manly than that.
I agree with you 100%. If 9 million eyes wasn't watching the whole situation play out, and you already got mental issues that people think you already crazy, so you just gonna give them another bullet to dig with. See, that's what our problem is. We want to be separated, and we want to be so this, that, and the other. But you got, at some point, you got to take, you just can't react. You have to react, just like I said, to elevate yourself to the next level. You can't always react when somebody said, when somebody do you wrong. It's a time and place for everything. Just like you said, halftime, he could have went over there and checked them. To the game, he could have went over there and checked him. Look, then, and then the next game, if it happened again, then okay, get ignorant. But you can't just be ignorant right off the break. I'm so tired of everybody being ignorant right off the break. It's getting on my nerves.
Just stop it.
We want grown men, grown women out here playing a professional sports game that is not even a real job for real.
Okay. Well, you're right. We've exhausted our opinions. Let's hear from my man Lou, and we're going to hear from 57 in that order. Lou, what's happening, bro?
Hey, how are you, Kale?
All right.
You know, I don't understand what the whole mess was about. I mean, you know, happened in Saturday's game between the Nets and the Lakers, and it just got, you know, downright ugly from there.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching the game, and, you know, well, I had the sound down, so I couldn't make it up. But from what I can tell from my, you know, lip reading, there was some hostility going on.
Right. Well, there was a lot of hostility going on. And listen, to Ted's point, it doesn't matter if it was the first minute of the first quarter, the second minute of the second quarter. When a person aggravates you and get on your nerves, that's when it's beat. That's when it is. I mean,
right.
There's no time limit on that, you know? Come on, 57.
Obviously not.
Hey, well,
hey,
how y'all doing this evening? First of all,
right. Great, man.
Congratulations to Matsuyama, who won the match.
Matsuyama.
Yeah, let me
who
say
did I say?
Matsui or something like that. Yeah, but look.
Lord, I'm just...
I told you last week the Nets will not even contend for the championship coming out of the East.
I'm starting to feel that way.
They don't have anybody other than Kevin Harden. I mean, other than James Harden, who has a killer instinct. Kevin Durant and Kyrie cannot win the title, the two of them together.
No, no, no. Kevin Durant has the killer instinct.
No,
Kevin Durant and Kyrie both have a killer.
And Dale,
let me say this.
Let me finish. He had a loaded team when he was out at OKC, and they couldn't go. Kevin Durant had to leave there and go to Golden State to win a ring. And that crap he talking
you
about rings, the Nets ain't
you
got
You can't
it,
blame. Bro. You listen.
Yeah.
Listen. Let me say this real quick. Apart, separate, Kyrie with the Cavaliers was the man. LeBron James was not. Kyrie was Mr. Big Shot. Kyrie was the one. Let me finish. He was the one when it came to those big needed points. It was Kyrie. That's why he and LeBron separated, because he was sick and tired of all of the celebratory antics going on LeBron's way, and he knew he was the one that was hitting those clutch shots. He was the one that made a difference, not LeBron. If you watch that playoff, I'm telling you, because that's when I started the whole, why in the hell are we calling him a king? Why are we calling him the king? LeBron is a good player. I'll give him that. I'll give him that. Some nights, he's a great player. I'll give him that. But he's not the king that everybody is trying to crown him. Okay?
Wow.
And he's not. He's not. He's not, dude. Listen, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. When have we ever seen Michael Jordan go up 3-1 and lose it?
Never.
I'll wait.
Well,
never.
You can't put LeBron with Michael Jordan. You can't put in no player in the NBA with Jordan. Because LeBron is not that type of player. He's not that type of player. He ain't got that killer. It's only one other player that had that killer instinct like Michael. And God rest his soul, he's gone.
Who was that?
Kobe.
Of course.
Kobe Bean,
you know?
Bryant.
Kobe Bryant.
That's all. And that is what has me so pissed off. Because so many people have totally just ignored Kobe and all he's been and done and want to give it crown LeBron. Get the hell out of here, man.
Pure fans like ourselves, we know the difference. We know that it runs like Michael Magic Kobe, you know, as far as I'm concerned. And you can throw Larry Bird in there before you even throw LeBron James up in there. You know,
exactly.
So that's the way I look at it. As far as they can't win, look, they haven't. James Harden needs to be on that court. He's not on that court. Kyrie cannot carry that team. I don't care what anybody says. And as far as that fight goes on, I agree with what Tree said. It's one thing. I understand when somebody call you out of your name, call you the N word or the B word, that you got to step up and say something. But
I think it shows disrespect.
Yeah, it shows disrespect. But here's the thing: do we know what Kyrie said to make him call him that? You know, don't act like Kyrie was totally innocent in this thing.
No, it wasn't about what Kyrie said. It was about Kyrie's actions, because he was pressing Schroeder out so much.
I didn't see
it was his action.
Like that. I do know
Having personal issues.
I told you last week, just like I told you, Corey McIlroy was not going to even be in contention for the Masters, that Kyrie and the Nets did not win the title. And I'm gonna repeat myself again. They will not come out of the East and win to play for the championship. I'm gonna say it again.
Who is your knight in shining armor coming out of the East then?
I don't have one, but I'll say this.
Oh, man.
If Embiid will stop shooting three-pointers, if Embiid will stop shooting three-pointers and get himself down low and stay healthy, Philadelphia should be able to win the Eastern title. That's what I'm
saying. I knew it.
Hey, I wish you had told me I could have saved some breath.
I'm sorry, sir. I don't think Embiid is going to stop shooting three. You know what I'm saying? And you know, hey, thank Skip to Malou and them, and Steph Curry and them. You know what I mean? Everybody who has made that 3-point shot so attractive that guys are no longer playing normal basketball. There's no more putting the ball on the floor or playing
right
in the post or none of that. We'll never see that again. The days of that style of basketball have gone completely away from us. So, you know,
the person out there that's playing in the post is the boy for what's his name? Colbert. I watched
Gobert.
He's the closest person that stays on the low post most of the time with his game. But Embiid stays hurt because he wants to dribble the ball and shoot 3-pointers. And come on, man. Get under the basket where you're supposed to be. Get in the paint.
Yeah. I was fortunate to watch them last night. And it was just funny to me. And they were draping Lopez with all this praise, and you know, yeah, but can you say that on the regular?
No, I can't. I said he had a good game.
Oh, because the last I checked, he's always 7 feet. He doesn't lose height. He's all.
Who's the one player in the NBA right now that's showing up every night they have a game? Who do you think is your one player? I'm asking everybody.
Zachy boy?
Zach LaVine.
Who?
Zach LaVine. For me.
Okay.
I'm going with a boy from Dallas. What's his name? Doncic.
I'm going with the only player that I've been watching here lately and the team I've been watching. I'm going with the Pelicans, Zion Williams. He's showing up every night. Did you see the way he stepped on that knee when he came down? I'm serious.
I'm not ready to give Zion that. I'm sorry. I see Zion making a lot of highlight plays. I'll give him that. He's always on SportsCenter, top 10. I'll give him that. But I'm not ready to go further than that yet with Zion.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I need to see more.
I'm not saying he's the best player. I'm just saying that every night he shows up. That's all I'm saying. Every night he shows up. I'm not saying he's the best player in the NBA because right now I don't know who to give that title to.
Luka.
Tough choice.
Luka.
No, it's not.
Zach
been on 50. 50. I'm like, bam, come on.
I got to give it to Luka, man. I got to give it to Luka. And the fact that Luka is undersized, you know what I mean, and still getting it done. I mean, seriously,
undersized.
Getting it done. Yes.
Undersized.
Yes. Luka is undersized, man. No.
He's like six, what?
Luka's not. Are you sure you know who I'm talking about? Luka Doncic, the guy that plays point guard or shooting guard for Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. 6'7".
He ain't 7 nothing. Right. On the, if he laid down and they stretched him, he wouldn't be 7.
No, I'm telling you, man. I think he's like 6'6", 7", something like that, bro. For real.
He's 6'7".
I heard somebody look it up on the phone.
He's 6'7".
Yeah, I told you.
That's not 7 feet, man. That's still, isn't it not 7 feet? That's not 7 feet, right?
If he was 7 feet, I would say he's stupid, too, because he should be inside.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But can I go back to Kevin Durant one more time, and then I'll shut up?
Hold on. We're going to take a quick one because we're up against it. We got to get this break out. But save that thought. Save that thought because we want to hear it. 563-999-3782. 563-999-3782, man. Tell somebody, man, what we doing over here on Kale's Corner. This episode of Kale's Corner been educational, if nothing else. You know, we finding out that Kyrie and Kevin Durant won't win a championship. Matter of fact, if I'm quoting you correct, 57 say they won't even make it out of the East. Oh, my goodness. I know Lou not happy about that at all. Cause, you know, that's Lou's team, you know. The Nets, man. You know,
he's trying to be a first round.
You say what?
You saying he said it's gonna be, they're going to be a first round out or they're just not going to make it at all?
Let's find out. Go ahead, 57.
No, I'm not saying that they're going to be out in the first round, but I think they got a better team than that. I think that at the best that they'll do is play for the NFC East title, and that's it. But I don't think they'll win it. And I just said, hey, Kevin Durant is not the type of player that can make other players around him better. He's not the type of player that can carry you to a championship by himself. When he went to Golden State, they didn't need Kevin Durant to win that title. They could have won that title without Kevin Durant. He was
but how did he end up the MVP? How did he end up the MVP then? I keep hearing people say that. Everybody is just completely taken for granted that Kevin Durant came to Golden State and made it his team. They no longer referred to Steph Curry or Klay Thompson, it was Kevin Durant that they were throwing them passes to late in game. It was Kevin Durant who made the big shots that got Golden State over the hump.
Well, he should have made the big shot. He was shooting all the time. When the ball
let me ask you a question, 57. Let me ask you a question, 57. Did he or did he not? What are you saying? It's tomato or tomato?
I just said it, bro. I said it all at one time. I told you he's not the type of player that can make other players around. Michael Jordan won MVP before he won a championship. And I'm going to tell you why he won his championship, because he started passing the ball to other players on the team. He started making other players on his team better. And until Kevin Durant has never done that. Not at OKC, not in Seattle. Mm-hmm. He has never done that. And so,
I beg to differ because his game was so strong in Golden State. Mm-hmm. Teams had to double team him, and which left Klay Thompson and Steph Curry open and available all the time. So you can't say you can't say that he doesn't make anybody better. How can you say that? If I am such a powerhouse on the team with you and you're getting your shots off cleanly with no interference and no defense because they're worried about me, that is making you better.
Yes.
Am I wrong?
I'm saying you. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm saying you're wrong when it comes to that individual person right there. The reason being is that Kevin Durant was taking all the shots. That team was the same team that won the title. They did not need Kevin Durant to win that title. They had a great team. He came to a great team.
So why did Draymond Green call and beg him to come there?
No, he was getting ready at the end of his contract, and they were trying to decide where to go, and they all decided that they wanted him there with them. That's what they did.
Wow.
They all went to – the four of them went to see him. Well, he's not at Golden State now. He's in Brooklyn. Let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the
push is going to come from the Nets out of the East. I see that. I see them as the true competition for the Lakers, which is another subject I wanted to bring up when it comes to the Lakers. You know, I think that the Lakers are in save a LeBron mode. No, I think that they are not playing LeBron and Anthony Davis to give these guys rest. And only because this is the shortest offseason that they've ever had, number one. And number two, when LeBron hurt his ankle, okay, and I was watching that. I paid close attention to that injury. LeBron got up and ran down the court, made a three, and all that before he limped off. And then they came with the 6 to 8 week diagnosis, right? Well, I'm going to say this. As a person who's played basketball and was down to an injury of that nature, I didn't run down court after I was hurting. I had, you know, sustained this injury. I wasn't running down court. I matter of fact, I got carried off the court instantly.
What was the diagnosis?
It was Achilles. I had an Achilles injury.
Ugh.
Yeah. Now,
I don't worry.
I'm looking at LeBron. I'm looking at LeBron, and I'm like, how could you have that injury, dude? You're 30 something years old. Number one. I just don't see how you can sustain yourself through an injury of this nature. Oh, okay.
The NBA is 30 plus.
We saw this. Oh, what?
I said the NBA is soft now anyway. You know, they do tic-tac-tac.
I wouldn't say that.
No.
I wouldn't say that they're soft. They are babies. I'll give them that. They are babies, but I wouldn't go as far as to say. I wouldn't go as far as I say this, you know what? We're going to take a break on that. 563-999. Babies are soft as hell, y'all. 563-999-3782 is the number. 563-999-3782 is the number. We'll be right back, y'all. 57, boy, I tell you, you trouble, boy.
Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick, 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 quick. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick, 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 quick. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick. I'm sweeter and thicker than a Chico stick. Here's an ice cream cone, honey, take the lick. I'll go to Bay Plaza and catch a flick. Want my Timberland boots so I can start to kick. Scandalous, get a whip of this myth. Just left the yard, boy, now I'm blitz. I feel good, per se, good state of mind. Drive a red Sterling in the seat.
Yeah, too much of anything make you an addict. 57, I'm an addict, man. I'm an addict to your crazy conversations. Talk about some damn babies. So, but damn, I thought that break would do me good, G. I'm still over here cracking up. The Wizards last night surprised the heck out of me. You hear me? They had a big lead on Utah, and they were able to sustain that lead and you know, carry it on out to zero. We're on the clock. And you're right, Treach. I always come on when Lopez is playing bad or not having a good game, and I always make it known. Lopez played a hell of a game last night.
Mm-hmm.
He was his that hook shot was deadly. You hear me? He was on. I counted. He only missed maybe two or three of those close range. And then I think he missed like maybe three of them away from the rim itself. But that was still good to me for Lopez.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, we know the arguments that I've had concerning him, you know, and his lackadaisical performances and the fact that he's 7 feet and wants to play away from the rim all times. So it was good to see him bring his A game for a change. It was
uh-huh.
good to see him bring his A game for a change. Go ahead, Tree. You got something you want to say? Did you watch that game last night too?
I did, and I was impressed. I was really impressed because every time the ball went up in his hands, he getting that arc on that hook shot that Kareem would do. Like, I think he's kind of mastering that. That's going to be his signature shot because he do it
right.
15 times a game, and he's really good at it.
Yeah, and he's really good at it. really good at it. Let's bring my man Lou in. Lou.
Okay.
Yes. Did you watch the Wizards? Did you watch the Wizards last night? I know you didn't, Lou.
I don't get that in my area.
I know you did.
Much.
That right, right. I had to think about that. My bad, my bad.
Yes. That's all right.
Yeah. 57, you watched those Wizards last night, man?
No, I didn't. I just saw the highlights today when I was watching ESPN. I'm like you. I get so disappointed in them that when I see them on TV, I don't even turn because I don't want to get, you know, it's like watching Georgetown lose when I feel like they're supposed to win.
Oh, boy.
Right. I understand that. And last night, I swear to you, the Wizards had the type of game that they had to have for me to be in it start to finish, if that makes sense, you know. I was watching that game last night, and the Wizards dominated from the tip off to the end. They completely dominated, and I was, for one, you know, just feeling so excited by watching them. And I'm like, this is Utah. Utah is considered one of the best teams in the league. And you guys are handling them, you know, and ended their 24 home game win streak.
Yeah.
You guys ended that. This is how they leave me sometimes, you know, because you just don't know. You wonder why these guys can't get it on or keep it going, and it's very frustrating. It's very – last night, I'm serious, I was like, okay, I'm going to turn now. Oh, they doing good. Oh, I'm about to turn. Oh, Utah's making a run. I'm getting ready. I'm about to. Oh no, nah, Wizards sustained. Wizards held on. You know, because we all know. Yeah, you know, every NBA game has ebbs and flows. We all know that. You know, and to just watch them go back and forth, but the Wizards didn't lose their lead. They maintained their position. And I was like, you know, again, normally when I'm looking and it's like, yeah, I'm turning it off now. I couldn't turn it off. I could not turn it off because those guys were playing ball. They were playing good ball last night. So, you know, I still feel the same. I want Scott Brooks out of there, want him gone, because truly, to me, this step that we're seeing, this step that they're taking, is because of Westbrook. It's because of Westbrook. I'm seeing leadership in Westbrook that I never ever contemplated or thought on, you know? And he is really proving me wrong with his leadership. You know, I see guys, whether they make a shot or miss it, first thing they do is, and in basketball, you always know who the leader is. You know by who are guys talking to the most when they're on the court. And everybody, even Bradley Beal, turns and consoles with Russell Westbrook. Is that that boy's name? Yeah, that's his name, Russell. That's
me.
But I was just watching that closely last night. Everybody, and I'm talking about the players that weren't even in the game. Players that were out due to injury, they were talking to Westbrook and consoling with him on what they seen and what should they do in case of this, in case of that. And I was like, wow, I never would have, because KD stated that he had such a problem with Westbrook as the lead man because Westbrook would come down the court and he never knew whether he would get an opportunity or a chance or whether Westbrook would just take things over like he always do.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Maybe that had taught him something. Maybe that had taught him something because they were a team that was close to winning. They were a team that was close to having it all. And they lost it. They lost it. Some people say it's chemistry. Some people say, no, it was fading because KD really didn't like Westbrook. But every time I see them reunite, they're okay with each other. They're okay.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's okay with one another. You know, it's not a situation where they're like, you know, I can't stand him. You know?
Right.
So
I'm waiting. Yeah. I'm waiting to see a game where they say KD had 5 assists or KD had 5 or 6 assists. I'm waiting to see that. The problem that they had in OKC was going up basketballs out there for both of them. And KD wants the ball all the time.
Well, that's because that's his job.
You think he can make people
better? But how can you argue with him?
Because he's hitting a lot of shots.
How can you argue?
He's got to be double teamed. They ain't making nobody better. That's just making other players stand around and wait for you to shoot the ball.
No. In my book, that makes him better. That makes him better because they just have to be prepared. That's why
I had to throw that to you, Dale. My bad.
You say Roy what? You gotta stop that foolishness.
I said that's why Roy won the title, man. The Masters. I had to hit you with that one. My bad.
Just Patty.
I wouldn't catch that
just
kid.
Patty. What do you expect? You know, this is the dude that was firing his coach and his quarterback after 11 wins.
And you know what? I'm going to say this real quick before we go to football. I wish they had a coach's draft so we could draft us along with a quarterback.
Yes.
Wow.
That would be the best.
Yeah, we're going to take a break on that. 563-999-3782 is the number, as usual. 57 takes us to break with one of the craziest, wildest comments that we ever heard. You know, we'll be right back, man. Oh, man. Stop. Take a step back. Who do you see? Who do you see helping your team? You know, who is there that you would love to don your team's colors, that you would love to hear the commissioner call name on Thursday the 29th? We gonna go to actually, Miss T, we gonna go to you first.
Well, you know, I always said Justin. I like Justin Fields, but I don't know. I like him over Mac Jones. I like him over Trace Lance. I like him. I just like him. And if we could get that Pitt, Kyle Pitt, I'd take him too. We don't really need him, but I'll take him. But
go ahead,
Lou.
I got to go with
Lou,
BYU for the Jets.
The Jets,
okay.
The Jets kind of been all over the place thus far, man.
I don't know what their team going to look like.
Exactly. It's really starting to form itself into a mystery for me when I think about the Jets. You know, the guys are pretty much have been all over the place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it, you know. What are you guys looking to accomplish? Because if I'm not mistaken, you guys have traded away Sam Darnold, right?
Yes, we did. Yep. Thank goodness.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
You think it was a bad trade?
I like Sam Darnold.
Me too. I would have taken him.
Yeah, but what did we do? Nothing.
You took him out of the last regime.
Well, I think it was.
It's a new regime. Yeah. It's a new head coach. It's a new all whole bunch of stuff.
And I'm looking at Sam Darnold as a creature of his habitat. Who did they have around him to help him?
Period.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, so I believe if players were added to the mix, I think you would feel different about Sam Darnold. I really do. I really and truly do. Sam Darnold is better than a lot of people think. We'll see.
He's better than his circumstance.
Right. Exactly. And I'm going to have to hold on to the fact that I don't think enough people were around him. I don't think he had enough help, both offensive line and skill players. I just don't think he had enough around him.
You know? He had nobody coaching.
Yeah, that is well. Yeah, that is well. So, you know.
He probably glad he out of that situation, but he probably really wanted to stay just to see, you know, what the new regime was going to be like. You know, he's already familiar with some of the stuff that's there. So they might have been better off keeping him.
Right. 57, what do you say?
I think we need I like Penei Sewell from Oregon, the offensive tackle. And maybe if we could get a quarterback out of this draft, that would be great. But I think our offensive line needs some work, and we need a couple of cornerbacks too. I would love to see that happen. But right now, that offensive tackle is, if I had to pick, that's who I would take in the draft right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you stole my thunder, because that is where I'm at. I really want Morgan Moses away from my team as far as he can get. No, seriously, because I've had enough of his miss a play, give me an excuse. I'm sick of the excuses, really. So, we've actually made moves as far as wide receiver, Samuel, and so I'm looking forward to, like you say, 57. It's eerie that we're thinking the same thing, but offensive linemen and defensive backs. Defensive backs. I really, really want to spend this draft investing in some. I need another Sean Springs or Sean Taylor. God, boy, that would be beautiful.
Right.
But I need guys. I need guys that are I don't want just athletic. I don't want just tall. I don't want just rangy or lanky. I want a specific athlete at that corner position because receivers are getting taller and taller every year. The receivers are getting taller and taller, and they're becoming more dominant in their roles. So you're going to have to combat that. We're going to have to combat that. And the way I see it, get corners and safeties who can maintain position with those guys of size, you know, those guys of length. You know, the game is changing. The game is changing. So you got to change with it. You have to evolve along with it. And to me, part of that evolving is going to get those players because for right now, that wide receiver position is really changing and demanding that you do approach it different than you used to. It was a time when you can get a slot corner or a corner, a regular corner at 6 feet, you know, 6'1", 6'2". You got to think higher than that now. You got to think taller than that now. You got to look 6'5", 6'7", you know, and that frame because those are the guys that are going to be able to maintain against those receivers and defend, hold their position in defense with those receivers. If I'm not jambling, I mean rambling, y'all understand what I mean, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what I want to see my team do. That's what I want to see them do. I want to see them take it to the next level as far as safety and corner go. I really do. And I know I'm asking a lot.
I thought I saw something on ESPN today where y'all supposed to be making a move to trade up or to do something where you could get another. I can't remember now because I was just past glancing at the TV at the time.
Yeah, that tight end, what's his name? That young rookie tight end, Florida State. What is his name? Fitz.
Cal
something
Pitts.
Like that. Cal Pitts.
Okay.
Yeah. It's been said that we're trying to move up to get him, but believe it or not, I'm okay where we are with tight end, and I don't want to trade up because
Cal Pitts can play tight end or wide receiver, or you can put him in the slot.
Yeah, I know. I know all of that, but I'm just asking myself, do we really want to give up, you know, our picks like that? Because remember, Washington, the last time that we made a move up, I mean, for RG3, y'all remember how those picks killed us and it took forever to get over that? Now, I don't want to go through that again. I don't want to go through that again at all. No. you know, that crippled.
I never believed in giving up draft picks to give one player in the first place. Just something I never agreed with.
Yeah, you know, and for a team that has multiple needs, you know, why would you give up, why would you mortgage your future? And you know, Ron Rivera would have to come in there and say, okay, I need a contract extension. I need a contract extension because y'all, you know, y'all doing this. How am I going to make do?
Yeah.
How am I going to put a team together? Right. And we're not going to be able to count on free agency like that, you know. Yeah, we'll be able to acquire a few free agents or whatever, but we can't count on free agency like that. So we're losing with every draft pick we're giving away, because that's really what it's going to be like just giving them away, you know, because there's no guarantee that this young man is going to come and be a productive member of our team. There's no real guarantee of that. So,
right.
I received your text earlier, 57, about that, and you know, I'm just saying that it's speculation. They don't have anything to talk about right now. So, I think I heard four different scenarios where teams are expected to move up. You know, and my only answer to that is how are we going to say that all these teams are moving up, you know? But, you know, hey, Pittsburgh might not let you down this year, man. They might finish the job they start, man, you know? I tell you what, though, no show is more fun than the one when you lose. I'm telling you. I bring out my company, the Tiger, then they're great.
Well, I'll tell you something. We're not going to trade up. We're not going to trade up and get a high-powered guy coming out of the draft, because we ain't going to spend that type of money. Our team has never been that type of team. We'll let players go before we gave the money he wanted, but we wouldn't give it to Le'Veon Bell. And that's the last person I've seen us offer a ton of money to, and he still ended up leaving anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony. What's his name? Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to my man Kirby. What's up, Kirb?
Uh-oh.
Oh, man. I didn't get no sleep at all last night. I went to bed. How you doing, Catrice?
I'm fine.
And I went to sleep, and I had a nightmare. Horrible nightmare. I dreamed I was walking on the beach, and I stumped my toe on something metal, and tried to pull it out of the sand, and it wouldn't come out, so I dug it out, and there's a magic lamp, and I said, oh, boy, I'm going to rub this thing, give me three wishes. And I rubbed it, and this beautiful genie popped out and did some stretches and stuff, said it's been long, 700 years, and by, and I said, wait a minute, I'm three wishes. She said, I'll give you one wish, and you better hurry. I said, damn, I got me a genie with attitude. And so I said, okay, let me be in bed with three famous women.
Mm-hmm.
And poof, I'm in this luxurious bed with the screen and everything. And I'm in there with Tonya Harding and Loretta Bobbitt and Hillary Clinton. My kneecap's broke. My wee-wee's gone. And I ain't got no health insurance. Terrible thing.
Well, welcome to Kale's Corner, Kirby.
Okay.
You know, only Kirby, only Kirby. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, Kirby, you be ready to tell me, man, who it is this week that tickled your fancy and excited you about this Washington football team. 6399-3782 is the number. 562. This is for you, Kirby, for that, them three women. Kirby said. We'll be right back. That's what I said. Fred is dead. Come on, Kirby.
Well, you know. Remember I told you about this guy. Last name is Tucker from USC.
Uh-huh.
They finally figured out that he's a first round draft pick, and they got us picking him now. Now, I think, I really feel like it's very possible that that Atlanta or Denver might deal with us as far as moving up to get Pitts. I really, really, really want Pitts, but it's not very likely, okay? So if we sit there at 19, we should have a shot at one of these really good wide receivers or some offensive linemen like Slater or Tucker or, that big old guy from Alabama that hasn't given up a sack in 4 years, you know, on the offensive line, you know. So I really feel like we need a linebacker, but not quite as bad as we need some offensive line and some, safety help. You know, like to get another safety or corner. Because I don't know what they're going to do with Collins. And they haven't let Reuben Foster go yet. They haven't let Reuben Foster go yet, which I feel that if they was going to let him go, they would have let him go several days ago. So I think I think Jack Del Rio is kind of keeping it under wraps that Reuben Foster is healthy enough to play.
All right, that'll be good for me. I tell you, I've been waiting for Reuben Foster since he's been a part of this roster. To step up and give me some. Let's go to our next caller. What's up, Cuzzo? Bug, you on, baby?
What's up, baby?
Hey.
What's happening?
Hey.
57. This is my cousin, 57. And he's he is still a fan, right along with you, 57.
My man, 20 grand. That's what I'm talking about.
That's my mom all day in the train.
So, cuz, what do you see that you want for your team for Pittsburgh from your point of view? 57 has already basically said the same as I wanted. offensive lineman and defensive back. What are your what's on your wish list?
Definitely the offensive line, because that's where it starts. You know, we already got a quarterback that we know not moving out of that pocket. So if that defense get to coming, you know, you need something that can hold up that pressure. So that offensive line, because we lost our key center and everything, like we lost a couple people on the line, we need to fill that void first. Cause I don't care who you got in the backfield. If that line ain't right, they eat in the dirt. You know? That's a definite. And then eventually I need to see them do something, because Ben been around so long, you're going to have to start figuring out who you're going to go with. You know, what round y'all going to move there? I'm definitely eager to see what's next with that. And then seeing my defense, my people just get back on the field and try to stay healthy and work together, because our defense was okay until it started breaking down when we lost, you know, a lot of key players. So just to see them back healthy, that would be good too.
Mm-hmm. So, I need to get I need to understand, are you in the same boat as your fellow Pittsburgh Steeler on this line right now, saying that it's time for you guys to get a new coach? Or are you willing to ride it out with Thomas.
Okay. I mean, personally, I think Tomlin okay. I think myself, Ben has seen better days. I feel like the league know him. I watched it last season when they knew he couldn't go down the field, so everybody changed their defense and just played close, because we're not worried about you beating us over top. And once they did that, that's when we started losing them games late in the season, because before then we won. We were undefeated, but we really didn't play nobody. As far as the quarterback on the other side of the field. So
You welcome my team. Washington put that blueprint out there. Ain't that right, Kirby? We put that blueprint out there how to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So. Whatever.
We were the first team that beat y'all.
Y'all, you been riding that wagon, man. You been riding that wagon.
That was the first time. Y'all defense is on point. Everybody knows that. So that's what Pittsburgh went up against. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. Ben couldn't do much in that pocket when that defense was breaking down. You know what I'm saying? So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Don't do that. I'm not committed.
Yeah.
Don't do that. You know my
heartline. Yeah, I know your heartline. You know,
I heard my man.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I heard my man earlier say something about, you know, we don't really pay nobody. You know, once we really know their talent, but we don't pay them. And he's right. That's true. We do let everybody go. You know what I'm saying? Instead of, like, trying to really build a team all the way, like a lot of teams do, they ain't paying you. They'll pay one or two people, and that's it. So you win with what you got in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
But That's because Pittsburgh, like so many other organizations, believe in their system. They believe it's their system, and it's easy to find somebody to fit in your system. You know,
right.
That's all. You know,
right.
But
our system has always had a very good defense, but we always had an offense that could produce. When you get down in that red zone and they keep stopping you and you cannot score points in the red zone, you know how many field goals we kicked the past couple of seasons? You know what I'm saying? We need a little more on that power, on that side of the game.
Because we used to have the type of team that our offensive line would push you all the way down the field into the end zone. We became
a running game.
Outscored a lot of people, But with Ben playing that Chuck and Duck, man, we ain't got that type of team no more.
Nope. And then we always had, like you said, we got that back that put that run the ball. We controlled the time of possession. We controlled the game. Now it's a passing lead. And you got to have a passing quarterback that's going to air it down the field. These boys airing the ball. These boys going to
get
They scoring in 1.5 seconds. You know what I'm saying? With that going out, you know, with a snap and a flick of the wrist, they going downfield. So that's how teams playing there. Got to have somebody that can do this.
Finally, I got somebody else on here that know how to talk football. Thank you, Jesus.
Hold on, let me get y'all two Bammers some violins to go along with y'all little sad song. You know,
we know what we talking about. Yeah. Y'all still chasing us? Don't forget that though.
Yeah. We're chasing, but we catching up. Don't forget that. we are catching up with you. Hey, man, you know, time tells it all. And I mean, you know, when you got the number one defense in the league, you know what I mean, you know, good things happen to you.
Y'all going to start Fitzpatrick?
Of course. But if we don't, Heineke's a great.
And you know
if we don't, yeah, and you know what? I'm looking forward to a quarterback who throws the ball more than 15 yards downfield.
I miss those plays. What we saying? Now you hear what we saying?
Yeah.
You know.
One thing about Fitzpatrick, in the game or out of the game, one of the two.
Right.
One of the two. There's no in between.
What's up, big boy?
What's up, big boy? What's up? Hey, how y'all doing?
All right.
Hey, how you doing? I'm good, Mr. Kirby. How you doing, sir? Oh, good. I'm just putting up with Kale. I got one thing to say.
What's that?
Ain't that something? See, Curly? I said I was going to be good because so many people was, you know, crying about it.
Be good.
Fight. Yeah, baby.
Yes, sir.
See,
that. Yeah.
I can hold it out too.
You hear that hate?
Hey, I was just getting ready to say, I ain't hearing a whole lot of excitement about the football from a certain fan.
Well, 57. Hey, big boy, 57, you know, he goes into a schizophrenic coma when he that watches this all. He goes back to week 12? He goes back to week 12. Hey, you know what, 57, I realize it too. Y'all ain't winning no more games after that, man. Hey. Hey, big boy Bug on here too, so.
Let me tell you about Pittsburgh. Okay, Pittsburgh does the best job of scouting than any other team, and that their problem was injuries to the offensive line plus the lack of a running attack. Pittsburgh's known for their running attack. Boom, 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 smash mouth football, and then they set you up and it's 60 yards downfield. You know, so, but they've always had a great defense, a great defensive line, the steel curtain, you know, the offensive line, you know, but they've, their problem last season was they didn't have the running game. They didn't have the offensive line opening up enough holes, you know.
See, me and Cuzzo don't need to say anything, man.
I disagree. I disagree. Because y'all had it for 11 games. Y'all had it for 11 games. You found a way.
You didn't play anybody. We won't play anybody.
Kirby,
you
can't
play
NFL.
Y'all
playing
another team out there. Another 32 grown men out there. Whole
you
team.
You see how 57 just levitate to any excuse that he good with. We ain't playing nobody. You ain't say that at all until this year.
Y'all played one of the NFL teams. That's who y'all played. You just
didn't
play them. All of them. You didn't play all of them good enough. That's all that was. Anytime you lose,
well, look,
it's because you didn't play good enough.
What was the Redskins' record at the end of the season? What was the Redskins' record at the end of the season? Most of Redskins,
well, the Washington
playoff
football team record
was playoff
enough to win. It was enough to win our division. That's what I record was.
Yeah, because your division.
Good
your
enough
division.
To win the division.
Huh.
How about yours?
Your
and be in the playoffs. Okay, y'all bought tickets.
No hitting from the stand.
I did.
Whoa. From the stand.
Yeah. They was hating big time from the stand. You know? And Bug. I've been waiting years for you. Because one year we was watching the game when Washington was playing Pittsburgh. And Cuzzo saw this penalty just as plain. I know how the football mind he is. And he saw that penalty just as plain as I did. And talking about something, nah, that wasn't it. And that thing made me so mad. And that's why now every chance I get, I stick it to you Pittsburgh fans because of him.
I know the exact play you're talking about. I pull it up on the
screen. Yeah. It's in both of our memory. Y'all won. Y'all did win. You guys did win. But the most recent victory belongs to us. So.
Touche.
Yeah, that man.
Hey, Cuzzo, I'm glad to hear, man. So that way, I ain't got to take all this by myself. Not no more.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Well, I'm just glad somebody's going to be here. I'm just glad somebody else going to be here that ain't ready to fire the whole damn team and the cooking staff. That family was in the cafeteria frying the lady that make the grits.
Frying the water boy.
Yeah.
Me and Cuzzo might not agree on the coach needing to go, but we agree on everything else.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Pittsburgh will bounce back. Pittsburgh is going to bounce back. They're going to win that division like they usually do.
And
Kirby, you sound like you. Kirby, you sound like you might be a fan.
No,
I am a fan of I like being Joe Green and Holmes. I tell you what, that was two bad homes that you don't want to mess with. Being Joe Green and Holmes.
You didn't run on Pittsburgh
back then. Walter Payton couldn't even run on Pittsburgh back then.
Nobody could run on and our offense was like that. Our offensive line was like that, and our running backs were like that. You know,
when you got a caliber quarterback like we got, and he willing to take a pay cut just to get back on the field for another year,
yeah,
it tell you some stuff right there. You know what I mean? That's going on.
Oh boy.
That don't say nothing.
Let me put my boots on.
Let me put my boots on.
You know?
Put your waders on.
And don't forget that you're talking to a Wizards fan. And we had a coach, Whitman, who came in and asked for less money to do the same job. And at least we were fans enough to see, but still, same principle. You come in here asking for less money. Are you going to do less work? You going to work out less? What are you going to do to justify the less that you will be receiving for it? We're going to take a quick break. 563-999-3782. Lord have mercy. 57 got an associate. Oh, my goodness. Bert, I can't believe you just said that. Demo Nelly. If you want me to stay, I pray for less money. But we'll be right back.
For the love of the game, that's what it is. Loyalty to the team.
If you want me to stay, I'll be around today to be available for you to see. I'm about to go, and then you'll know for me to stay, I got to be me.
All right. I've decided we're gonna go a different route here for the last 10 minutes of the show. I hope everyone stays here with us and really get into this. Minnesota. Another young African-American male was murdered. Let's call it what it is. By a cop who claimed that she thought she was grabbing her taser, but it was actually her service revolver, and she shot and killed this young man. I'm more than at a loss for words here, people. I'm more than at a loss for words. Number one, because I am an African-American man. Number two, because my son is an African-American male. My twin brother is an African-American male.
Yeah.
When is enough going to be enough? When is enough going to be enough? What can we do? What can we do? Because at this point, I think conversations need to be held. I think that minds need to come together on this. Miss T, you got anything you want to say?
I'm tired of keep saying the same thing over and over. Like, it's just shooting us down like we don't matter. Like, and I'm saying we because I'm a African American. I'm a brown skinned girl married to a brown skinned man with two brown skinned young men that I have to cringe every time he leaves out the door because my husband is a driver. So he drives a lot. So he can get stopped at any time. My son got pulled over yesterday. I was so nervous. I was like, be quiet. Don't say nothing. Yes, sir. Yes, yes, ma'am. Whoever, whatever. Just stay safe. Please. I had to sit my grown son down along with my husband. We sat them down, and we had to talk about if you get stopped walking or driving, the correct things to say and do. We should not have to do that with the police. We shouldn't have to police our kids against the police for being the color that we are. We was born as we have no control over it. Like we fighting a fight that we shouldn't even be fighting.
Right.
And it keeps happening over. It's not even been a year since they put the foot on the boy's neck. Then somebody else got Brianna was right before that. They just killed her in her house. She in her house sleeping. Like when is it gonna stop? Like I can't take no more. My heart is hurting for everybody. Like I can't take it. When my phone ring, I be nervous.
Yeah, I understand. Cuzzo, you next up on this. What do you think, man?
I mean, it all start right in their mind, bro. Like with anybody, with everybody. As far as the police go, they're going to have to change their way of thinking, bro. Everybody is not a threat. You cannot treat all black people the same. You feel me? You cannot treat all black people as if each and every person I see that's of color is a threat to me. You can't walk around with that mentality. They need to start with that right there. That's first and foremost. I mean, it's like everybody say, you don't even want to talk about it no more. All you need right now is action. You need people taking action on stuff like this because we've been dealing with this for so long, and, you know, I done been arrested twice for nothing. Beat both cases because y'all had nothing. Didn't even produce no evidence because you had nothing, but because I'm a black man, you wanted to put me in a system.
Right. Yeah.
How I feel about that, bro. I can't stand it. But it start with
but that's
mind.
The whole issue on it, though. That's the whole issue on it, though. I'm sorry. Go ahead, 57.
Personally, I think until we begin to matter to other people, not just to ourselves, because we know how we feel, we gotta be that our lives matter to other people, other races, the police included. You know, it's a shame that a United States soldier, a lieutenant in the army, got treated the way he got treated. Even after he had his hands out the window clearly, and when the police asked him to unfasten your seatbelt, he said to them,
I don't want to move to go for my seatbelt because mm-hmm. I don't want y'all to think I'm reaching for a weapon.
He said, I don't want to die.
I don't want to die, exactly. We got to begin to matter to the people that make laws. We got to begin to matter to, and we're beginning to see it. We're beginning to see other people of color out there protesting with us. But until we start to matter to the people that make laws, things going to continue to be the same. Why is it that your son can get stopped for a ticket violation and go home to his family, but my son gets stopped and he might lose his life for mm-hmm. a ticket, a traffic mm-hmm. ticket? It could be a break.
Right.
It makes right. no sense at all. And like Tracy said, I'm so tired of every day you turn on the TV and it's another, I don't know what the word to use, but somebody of color, and especially black, are being attacked for no reason at all. Wasn't George Floyd enough? That wasn't enough.
Yeah. Right.
Come on. Come on, Kirby.
Go ahead, Kirby.
I always wait till all the facts are in before I shoot my mouth off, because like I wasn't there, you know what I mean? But one thing that I know for a fact is part of the problem is these police unions. They force the administration to keep bad cops on the force.
Yeah.
They stick up for idiots that have a wider complex that wants to walk around because they got a gun and a badge and they better than everybody else, and they start this bully shit.
Mm.
Then they get in trouble, and they get fired, and then they go to the police union, and the police union is so powerful that
yeah.
they end up getting back on the force. So that's one of the main problems with a lot of these big city police departments is the police union is too powerful.
Mm.
I know that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that all black people are not criminals. I also know that all cops are not bad cops. So,
true.
There are times, I mean, there are black criminals, okay? You mm-hmm. like there's white criminals and brown criminals and all that. And then, you know, but you think about all the interaction every day that the police or law enforcement people deal with, serving warrants, they at the courthouse, the traffic stops, 911 calls, you know. So, you know, it ain't a perfect world. But what I'm saying is that when you do have a situation where you have a bad shooting, you know, which means that it was not justified, stuff like that. To me, in my thinking, the cop stopped being a cop and he turned a criminal. And he needs to be
right.
treated like a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Hold on, Kirk. I got one more call. I want to get to 236. What's happening? 236,
oh,
you with me? Yeah, 202.
Yeah.
You.
What up, Cal? What's up?
What's happening?
Yeah,
happening?
I didn't know how I was going to get injected in this conversation, so I thought I'd just wait for you to get around to me. How everybody doing?
You ain't
here
now.
I don't know what the format. All right.
Big Al, we talking about the shooting in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I heard a few views. I mean, I heard everything everybody was saying. I mean, everybody was hitting on some key points. I mean, but we got to remember now, but we've been talking about police brutality and police violence against blacks for years. I mean, that's just within the nature of our culture. I mean, that's just what it is. So we could talk about it changing and hoping that it would be better and could be better and shouldn't be this and shouldn't be that. But the fact is that it's not going to go away. Because it's been embedded within our culture specifically for hundreds of years, for well into from the beginning of law enforcement with blacks and whites. I mean, it's just a matter of getting better. It's just a matter of getting better. You know, the George Floyd thing is unfortunate. That clearly was misconduct. But we also see how cops get away with stuff with evidence being right in their face as long as being videotaped. So we just hope that this ain't going to be the same case. You know, so it looks different. We just hope it ain't the same as it was for Rodney King, you know, or Mega Evans. Emmett Till.
Yeah.
You see? See, I can go on and on. I mean, it's a lot of the same. We just hoping that the outcome is different. The evidence
there
is different. We've seen evidence. We've seen an abundance amount of evidence on so many different cases dealing with blacks. Blacks we know about and blacks we don't know about. You know, so, I mean, the cases are overwhelming, you know, without question. I just hope that this time it's not a matter of the cop being held accountable. It's a matter of the person being held accountable. You know?
Right.
He just happened to be a cop. Right. He just happened to be a cop, and he misused his authority. You know? But the action is unjust.
Come on, big boy. You're going to get the last word on this. Thanks, Al. Come on, big boy.
Okay. No doubt.
I'm listening to everything that everyone is saying, and we're talking about change, and we're talking about, you know, how are we going to do this? We're tired of it. My thing is, until we stop being marginalized, not only by other races, but when we stop marginalizing ourselves. Now, that's not a popular opinion or point of view, but it's mine, and it is what it is. I see, you know, black people, black brothers treating each other like dirt, treating each other bad, doing each other wrong, you know, things that they wouldn't go into neighborhoods of, you know, where most of them don't look like them. They wouldn't go in their neighborhoods to do that. But we are not going to gain any respect as a people. And I'm not talking about specific individual situations. I'm not talking about the exceptions to the messed up rule. I'm talking about we as a people need to get back to where we had pride in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
So we had, you know, certain situations like you look at Southeast. You know, fires and shootings, women and children dying. The Klan didn't come in and do that. White police didn't come in and do that.
Right.
When we can come together, then we're strong enough to stand up and fight against the ones that want to kill us, the ones that are so afraid of us that fear translates into aggression. And that aggression translates into our death, and they're able to do it because why? They're certified by the United States of America, the state that they're in, the county that they're in, the city that they're in, is saying they don't care about themselves. They'll do what you want to do.
Okay.
Handle it the way you're going to handle it, and we got you.
Wow. Wow. Thanks, big boy. That was a mouthful. I'm going to say this. First, go ahead, Trish. You go ahead first.
No, go ahead, because we love you today.
Yeah,
we
up again.
But not as much as tomorrow. Just hug somebody, y'all, and tell them you love them. And tell them we're here on Kale's Corner Tuesdays and Thursdays, 5 to 7.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kale.
5 to 7, Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm going to say this. Money should be taken away from this police fund, this retirement. When a family is awarded music or money should be taken away. And maybe then, with that money that's being taken away, these people that are committing these crimes, these heinous acts, they'll see that they're not winning, and their retirement will be minimal because, and I know a lot of people say, well, that would be against all cops. My thing is this: if you're a cop and you see a cop doing wrong and you don't stop him, you're just as guilty as he is. Remember that. All right, y'all. Love somebody. We love you guys. We'll see you here next week. And until then, hey, look, man. Y'all be careful out there.
Yeah.
Hill Corner signing off.